It's baffled scholars for two millennia. It is a puzzle made of multidimensional elements. An enigma with roots that reach back to the dawning of time, perhaps before. Daniel explained part of it. Ezekiel and Isaiah had glimpses into it. John saw it all for the time of the end. That time is now. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert on a journey that spans the course of history. From Eden to Mount Hermon. From Hermon to Babel. From Babel to Rome. From Rome to the cross. And from there to us. Biblical prophecy is coming true before your eyes. And to understand it, you must discern the times both then and now. It's time to unravel the threads of this all-encompassing prophetic paradox. It's time to unravel Revelation.
Welcome to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, and we are back with second part two of the Gog-Magog discussion. And I know a lot of people are talking about this right now. So pull up a little bit of tea or coffee or whatever you need, because this is going to be around-the-world discussion, not just of Bible prophecy, but of also of geopolitics and theopolitics. Politics, which I think is much more important than geopolitics.
Yeah, you can't separate the two. As much as we here in the West tend to view the world and look for natural solutions, you know, if just we vote, if we get out the vote in the next election, we'll fix everything. God raises up kings and tears them down again. And so the world is in the state that it's in through his permission. It may not be happy about it, but he's created all of the entities mm-hmm. in creation, human, supernatural, with free will. And mm-hmm. That is why we're in the state we're in.
What amazes me is he looks at all of the spirit beings and their free will and the human beings and our free will, and he somehow takes, and the demons, which may or may not have free will, I don't know. But he takes all of these decisions and he works everything together for good according to his purposes. So from before he even created the world, before mm-hmm. he created the universe, before ever let there be light, he knew exactly every decision that was going to be made worldwide throughout time and worked it all according to where we are now. He's brought us where we are now for his reasons. You may not like the current administration. I'm not fond of it, but he's there because the Lord raised him up to be there. You may not like Putin, but he is there because the Lord put him there for such a time mm-hmm. of this. Right now, Russia, Ukraine, what we call Ukraine, used to belong to the Soviet Union, to the USSR. And so when everything broke up in the early 90s, Ukraine became its own independent state, mm-hmm. independent country. And Russia didn't like that. There were a lot of Russian-speaking people mm-hmm. who considered themselves ethnic Russians. And so leading up to various disagreements, and finally 2014, we got the Maidan, because which is essentially the name of a square in Kiev. A lot of the people living in Kiev especially, but mainly the non-Russian ethnic peoples mm-hmm. of Ukraine, the Kiev Rus, they did not want the person who won the election mm-hmm. to be in charge.
Well, that
Yanukovych,
sounds,
was that his name?
Yanukovych, yeah.
And so they protested.
Not unfamiliar situation for us here in the U.S.
No, that protest lasted for, I think, 93 days.
Yeah. Yeah, and it wound up with Yanukovych being run out of Russia, or run into Russia, actually run out of Ukraine.
But Putin looks at that and thinks, wait a minute, that belongs to us. Mm-hmm. Those are our people. At least that's his excuse. As I said in the previous program, I think that Vladimir Putin sees himself as a modern-day czar, mm-hmm. which is an autocratic position. And the czars, beginning after the Ottomans took Constantinople, they sort of took over the Byzantine role of Holy Roman Emperor. You've got the Austrian Empire that really did call themselves the Holy Roman Emperor.
Right.
But more so, it was the Russians who believed that they kept the Ottomans from taking over Europe.
And they did to a degree.
To a certain extent.
And we here in the West have forgotten that the Ottoman Empire, the armies of Islam, actually got as far as Vienna, Austria twice, once in the 16th century and again in the 17th mm-hmm. century, which is really mind-bending because here in the United States, we already had English colonies established on the east coast of the United States,
yeah.
and there were Islamic armies besieging Vienna. Had it not been for Jan Sobieski, the king of Poland, Vienna would have fallen, Germany to the north, Rome to the south mm-hmm. would have been wide open. The history of Europe and thus the history of the United States would be very, very different.
Well, Russia considers themselves the bulwark against right. that. Russia also controls a lot of the Black Sea region, yes. which also touches Turkey, Ottoman Empire. Mm-hmm. So if, and we see, if you've been watching Vladimir Putin for the, 14 years that he's been in power, whatever it is, that he often has photo opportunities with the patriarch of the Russian church. He sees himself as a defender of the faith.
Mm-hmm. And like other church denominations, mm-hmm. and I don't want to single anyone out, but the Russian Orthodox Church is also a political organization.
Of course they are. Many churches are political organizations
yes. Yes.
that have secret operatives from yes. the fallen realm working within them.
Yes, that is very, very diplomatically said, but you are correct. Yes.
But if he sees himself that way, should we be surprised that the Lord is using him to move against the fallen realm? The fallen realm are setting up what I believe is the false Gog-Magog scenario.
That, I think, is really insightful. And we touched last week on why Gog of Magog is not coming from Russia. Again, Rosh is not mm-hmm. a word. It appears in the Bible 476 times. Mm-hmm. And if this means Russia in Ezekiel 38 and 39, that's the only place in the Bible where it's a proper noun. So it's unlikely that that's what it means.
But it's easy to believe that's what it means.
Sure.
And it's what I was taught when I was growing
sure,
up. And
me
many
too.
Of us for 150 years, 160 years have been taught that.
Exactly. But when you look at the other nations in that coalition, you know, people point to Gomer, say that must be Germany. No, it's the ancient Sumerians who settled in central Turkey. Mm-hmm. Meshach and Tubal, we know where they were located in
Sumerians
Ezekiel's day.
C-I-M-M, by
yes,
the way.
Yes,
often pronounced Kimmerians.
Or Kimmerians. The Meshach and Tubal, eastern Turkey. Magog is mentioned as being in the same group with Yavan, which is Greece. And mm-hmm. when fire comes down, it hits those on the coastland. So that's probably western Turkey, maybe the Luwian people.
Could be.
The bottom line, though, is that when you look at this, the point of assembly, the uttermost north, it's actually a reference to Mount Tzafan, which is in Turkey today. It's called Jebel al-Akra. But the point is that it's cosmic north. It's a supernatural enemy who is coming against Israel in the mm-hmm. last days. Now, there will be a coalition that is part of this, but that coalition, according to Zechariah and Joel, mm-hmm. and I think Ezekiel was pointing to this, what the nations that he named are coming from the north, coming from Persia, that's as far to the east as his readers would have mm-hmm. been familiar with, Cush as far to the south as his readers mm-hmm. would have been familiar with, Put, Libya to the west. The whole world is coming against Israel
yes.
in that war. But your belief, and I think you're right about this, that because, as we mentioned last
week, The red herring.
There have been rabbis who've been pointing to the Syrian civil war as evidence of the Gog-Magog conflict, mm-hmm. Russia's involvement in Ukraine in 2014, taking the Crimea after that Maidan mm-hmm. revolution, and pointing to the situation now as evidence that Gog is about to emerge, who in the Jewish mind is the ultimate end times enemy. And I think they're right about that because Gog is the Antichrist. And we point to this in my book, Last Clash of the Titans. I go into this in some depth, but the clue is, I think, Ezekiel 39:7, where God says, I will not let my name be profaned anymore. Let me make sure I'm not misreading the scriptures, but he says a phrase there that is, and the nations shall know that I am Yahweh, the Holy One in Israel, mm-hmm. which is the only place in the whole Bible where you see that phrase. It's usually the Holy One of Israel, but here in Ezekiel 39, at the end of the Gog-Magog conflict, the Holy One in Israel, because he has returned and is on the battlefield.
Think about this. There are many Jewish rabbis who are teaching that Messiah is already here or almost here.
Right.
They are looking for a very almost immediate fulfillment of Gog-Magog.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that Messiah will come at the end of the Gog-Magog war. Well, you and I believe that's true, because we believe the Gog-Magog War is actually what is known as the Armageddon War. It's the mm-hmm. very last battle before Jesus returns at the end of the 7-year tribulation period and stands upon the Mount of Olives. The rabbis, many of them, not all of them, but many of them believe that it's going to happen any minute. So if Jews believe it's any minute and Christians believe that Jesus comes at the end of the Armageddon War, if a false Armageddon, a false Gog Magog occurs, and then the false Messiah, the Antichrist, anti just means in place of, he's not going to show up and be a monster. He's going to show up and be someone everybody immediately is drawn to. They think him a hero. They think him a savior. He probably will heal the sick. He will perform miracles, signs and wonders, and he will come at the end of this massive world war, and he will reign in Jerusalem.
Yeah, and there is a chance that this conflict that's taking place right now could
lead to that
much more widely than is anticipated.
The fact that NATO keeps saying no, 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 I find really interesting. Because militarily speaking, now I'm not a soldier, but it seems to me logically that if you want to put out a fire, put it out while it's small. Don't wait until it's really big to try to put it out. In other words, have a no-fly zone over Ukraine and stop Russia now. Russia, as of today, when we're recording this, and by the time you watch this, this will have changed, but today they bombed a training airport, a training facility that was only, what was it?
Within 6 miles of the Polish border.
Yes.
That had been used to train NATO pilots.
Poland is a NATO country.
Right.
He's saying, come get me. And he's creeping closer and closer, daring NATO to come over and take him. I think if this continues much longer, NATO will get involved. But for now, the Lord has said, not yet. So the question is, what is the Lord about to do? I'm excited because the Lord is involved in this amazing spirit warfare, Lord of Hosts moment. And remember that the battlefield is more than human beings. In fact, there was a story just last week that there was a supernatural intervention from the heavens on a battlefield.
Yes, a son who had called his father and said, "Dad, we've got a Russian armored column approaching our position. You need to pray for us right now." And the dad called his church, and they all began praying for the son's unit. And in the morning, the son called his father back and said, "Dad, it's the most incredible thing. It was like something from space or lightning, and sparks were flying everywhere. And in the morning, all of the tanks and armored vehicles were destroyed, and they don't know what happened."
Doesn't that sound like one of the Old Testament stories?
It does. It does. And we don't have a way to corroborate this. This was reported by CBN News, but it is a remarkable story. And, you know, there's biblical precedent for it. So I'm not going to say it didn't happen, but it is indicating that there is something more going on here. We were in our weekly Bible study, our Gilbert House Fellowship, we were reading about the story of Deborah and Barak and the defeat of the general Sisera, who was a mercenary hired by the Canaanite king of Hazor. And in Judges chapter 5, we read about how the angels fought in their courses, the stars in their courses fought against Sisera.
Yes.
And in the Old Testament context, that means the angels were fighting. It was a spiritual war in the heavenlies. We talked about Psalm 68 last week and God leading away a train of captives from Mount Hermon, which is the mountain where the sons of God in Genesis 6 are reputed to have led their rebellion against humanity and against God. So this can happen. And, there is a scenario here, and I actually went into this in some detail, exactly what you're talking about, how this might lead to exactly what you're saying, the enemy faking or using what is believed to be the Gog-Magog conflict to set up the arrival of the Antichrist.
And bearing in mind that the Lord himself, in his words, says that if it were possible, even the elect would be fooled.
Yes. Well, let's kind of spin this out when we come back from the break. We'll start with Psalm 83 and roll through a possible scenario for how this conflict might lead some to welcome the Antichrist with open arms. That's ahead on Unraveling Revelation. Welcome back to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. I've got my tea. You have your coffee or something? You ready? We want to remind you that we're going to Turkey and...
Oh, Turkish coffee.
It's so good. Can't tell the Israelis we like the Turkish
coffee. No. Israeli coffee is really good, too.
It's
iced
very
coffee
good.
In Israel
iced,
is the best.
Oh, yes, it is really good. Well, you want to go to Turkey with us in October of this year, 2022. We have a very small caravan of people, about 24. We've already got about half of that filled. So if you are interested in going, please check out the website, skywatchinturkey.com. Little QR code right here that you can snap with your phone. Just aim your camera at it, and it'll ask you if you want to go to that website. Or you can go to on your desktop or whatever and go to skywatchinturkey.com and read all about our itinerary right there.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be in Israel next spring. You can join us there March 19th through 30th of 2023, an optional three-day extension over to Jordan. Want to find out more about that and get your name on the list now that Israel is open back up for travel, no more vaccine requirement. You'll find that at skywatchinisrael.com or use the QR code on your screen.
We'd love to have you join us. We really would. It's so much, you have a different viewpoint of the Bible when you're actually at the place where it took place. In fact, you talked about Sisera. Mm-hmm. We probably will go to Al-Ahwat again, which is where he forged his iron wheels for his chariots.
Right, and recently they found a chariot linchpin, an iron chariot linchpin there at Al-Ahwat.
Oh,
so yeah, it gives evidence to the theory there. I think Adam Zertal was mm-hmm. absolutely right.
I think he was too.
Well, Bill Salas, who is a...
we love Bill Salas, by the way.
A great teacher of Bible prophecy who published a book about the Psalm 83 mm-hmm. prophecy, and he wrote this. And I'm going to quote from the ESV. O God, do not keep silence. Do not hold your peace or be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make an uproar. Those who hate you have raised their heads. They lay crafty plans against your people. They consult together against your treasured ones. They say, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they conspire with one accord. Against you they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Jabal and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre, Ashur also has joined them. Mm-hmm. They are the strong arm of the children of Lot. That's Psalm 83, verses 1 through 8. Now, this, in Bill's interpretation, and I think he's onto something here, suggests that a coalition of Israel's nearby neighbors rise up and go to war with Israel. Edom and Ammon would refer to Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
The Ishmaelites, Arabs, Saudi Arabia. Moab would be Jordan, but also the Palestinians of the West Bank, or what the world calls the West Bank, Samaria mm-hmm. and Judea. Hagrites, named for Hagar, Abraham's servant, would be the Egyptians. She was an Egyptian woman. Amalek, the Bedouins in the Negev and in the Sinai. Philistia would be, in Bill's interpretation, Hamas.
Yes, very possible.
And also the Palestinians of Gaza. Tyre would be Hezbollah mm-hmm. in Lebanon. And Ashur, the Assyrians come from the northern region of Syria and northern Iraq.
Mm-hmm. So or if you're going to bring in Hezbollah, you might bring in Iran too.
Yes, that's true. Ashur was also the name of the chief god of the Assyrians, who mm-hmm. I argue in my book, The Second Coming of Saturn, was to be identified as El, chief god of the Canaanites, Saturn of the Romans, Cronus of the Greeks, etc. Mm-hmm. So it could be that this is... you know, a reference to that. It's hard to tell, but let's assume that Bill is correct, that this is nearby neighbors of Israel. So the Muslim nations, here's my theory, combining this with Daniel chapter 11, which reads like the wars of the Antichrist, Daniel 11, beginning of verse 36, Muslim nations would launch a surprise attack against Israel. Psalm 83, 1 through 8, Daniel 11, verse 40. Then a dynamic political or military figure leads Israel to an overwhelming victory. We see that in Daniel 11, beginning at verse 40, where we read, at the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, but the king of the north, and I believe that's the Antichrist figure, and this, mm-hmm. we'll need to do a deeper study on Daniel 11 because there's some disagreement over whether this section of Daniel refers to two kings or three kings. Is it a king of the north, king of the south, and the Antichrist, or is it just the king of the south and the Antichrist?
Good grief, plus we've got 10 kings that are waiting.
Exactly. The king of the north, Antichrist, in my interpretation here, shall rush upon him like a whirlwind with chariots and horsemen and with many ships. And he shall come into countries and shall overflow and pass through. He shall come into the glorious land, Israel, mm-hmm. and tens of thousands shall fall, but these shall be delivered out of his hand. Edom and Moab, Jordan, and the main part of the Ammonites, well, Jordan. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall become ruler of the treasures of gold and silver and all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Cushites shall follow in his train. So there's the victory. He comes into the glorious land mm-hmm. as victorious. News from the east and the north, Daniel 11:44, provokes the next phase of the Antichrist war, possibly strikes against Muslim nations farther away, such as Turkey, Iran, or even Pakistan. Daniel 11:44 reads, "News from the east and the north shall alarm him, and he shall go out with great fury to destroy and devote many to destruction." And then in verse 45, we see that this character meets a bad end. "He shall pitch his palatial tents between the sea and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end with none to help him." Just as, and now this is a multi-layered deception that would bring in Jews and Christians, I think.
Oh, very much so.
If he falls in battle, in this battle, which Jews would see as the war of Gog and Magog, mm-hmm. they believe that Messiah ben Joseph will lead Israel in that battle, but then fall mm-hmm. at the end of that battle. And then he would be resurrected mm-hmm. by Messiah ben David, or be revived into Messiah ben
yes.
David. And then go on to judge the nations and to cast the nations and their angels into Gehenna. But the book of Revelation, chapter 13, points to a character who will suffer what appears to be a mortal head wound who's miraculously healed.
Yeah. I think that if Putin is allowed to continue unchecked by the West, because he already has men in Syria, and he's starting to bring Syrians up into Ukraine, so mm-hmm. he's cross-pollinating, if you will. Mm-hmm. All he has to do is take control of the Black Sea and then sail down.
Mm-hmm.
It will take Turkey to stop him,
yeah.
because Turkey controls the Bosphorus Strait.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot get out of the Black Sea into the Mediterranean without passing through that. Turkey controls most of the southern border, the southern shores of the Black Sea.
Correct.
So again, he's going to have to make a deal with the very country that hosts Mount Safon.
Mm.
I don't know who or what the name or what the entity is that's in charge of Turkey, if there's more than one prince, spiritually speaking, in Turkey, because these are not countries as we currently define them. These entities who were these Elohim who were sent down by the Lord after the Babel event, each one was sent to a language group, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We're told there were 70 or 72. That just means every language group had one,
mm-hmm.
all of them. There are a lot of languages. There are more than 70 languages.
Right, right.
So if you look at all the people groups, it could be that Turkey has a lot of people groups within it. But if unchecked, I think that it's possible that we could see Putin again claiming that he is the hero of Christendom, that he will go into the glorious land, the beautiful land,
mm-hmm.
and go through Syria and use all of these enemies of the Jews to take Jerusalem, or to try to.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thought. And
if he does that, it could be that the rabbis will go, you know, well, that's the Gog-Magog war, because they may see him as Gog. They mm-hmm. may see, some have seen the United States at various points as being Gog, because it all depends on who's the current leader of the world that is most hated.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, it's difficult to perceive clearly, but as Paul wrote, we see into this realm as though into a glass darkly.
Into a glass
yeah,
darkly.
It's reversed and insufficiently lit, so we don't see into that realm clearly. But there is clearly a deception coming. I think mm-hmm. we can agree on that. And I can see how a false Gog-Magog conflict could be used. I think the goal for the fallen realm will be to draw Jews into welcoming a savior who turns out to be the enemy. I think that would be the goal. So we'd have to see a savior of some kind, mm-hmm. As far as the Jews are concerned.
As far as the Jews are concerned, but I believe that there are many nominal Christians mm-hmm. who will accept it. Remember,
yes,
if it
yes.
were possible, right. even the very elect would be fooled. The elect, that's all of us.
And there are many of us.
Including the Jews who are Messianic Jews.
Yes. And there are many of us who, again, look for political solutions to these spiritual ills of the mm-hmm. world. And it will not be resolved with a dynamic geopolitical military leader who will, you know, save us. It will that war ends when Christ appears at the heavenly host, and every eye, and you know, on the world, everyone sees him at once.
Yes.
He lands on the Mount of Olives, and it splits apart because that battle will mm-hmm. be taking place at Jerusalem. But there may be a false conflict.
The red herring,
and we've seen everything from the Syrian civil war to the conflict in Crimea to your cell phone. Yes, there are rabbis who say that your cell phone and social media is Gog of Magog. No.
That's interesting.
No. Gog is the great end times enemy. Our friend Doug Hamp, who's got a third edition now in his trilogy, Corrupting the Image 3, mm-hmm. Says that Gog, the etymology of that word, comes from Sumerian. That means roughly darkness or death. And so it's scholars have argued about this for, mm-hmm. you know, 2,600 years. What did Ezekiel mean? What's that name come from? But Isaiah writes about a covenant with death. They have made a covenant with death. And that's something we'll have to explore.
Is that
more
a capital
deeply.
D, spirit death?
Well, that may well be. If it's a covenant with Maveth or Mot, mm-hmm. the death god, this may be another way of, this may be a clue into the identity of who Gog is and the identity of the Antichrist. Now, we've got our own theory on that. We've talked about that before, but, you know, again, glass darkly.
It's so difficult to say, we know this for sure, we're going to actually, you know, close the book on it, we're done. No, I think the Lord has a lot of lot to teach us. But remember this, the Lord is still in control, no matter what goes on in the world. He is still in control, and our jobs haven't changed. We still are to spread the gospel message to the ends of the earth, to the ability that we have. So pray for your neighbor, witness to your neighbor, and rejoice in the Lord because he is coming back.
Yeah, that's the one takeaway that we can say for sure from the political situation in the world today, is that it's a reminder that our time is growing short. Mm-hmm. Work while we yet have light. This is Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV.
Unraveling Revelation is part of Skywatch TV. To learn more about Skywatch TV and the work of our sister ministry, Whispering Ponies Ranch, please visit our website, skywatchtv.com. And please join us for our weekly study of the Bible online at gilberthouse.org.